Depression and suicide are prevalent in our society. This month, the suicides of Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade in the news. And you most likely know someone who suffers from depression. St. Luke's is taking a new approach to identifying and intervening in depressive episodes. Starting last month, primary care physicians began screening for depression in patients rather than waiting for those people to reach out to mental health care providers themselves. And joining us to talk more about this are Megan Streit, Director of St. Luke's Population Health, and Dr. Sam Pullen, Director of St. Luke's Psychiatry and Behavioral Health. Thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Pullen, many people suffer from depression. They have a hard time reaching out for help, not wanting perhaps to carry the stigma of mental illness. How does screening for depression kind of prevent people from slipping through those cracks?
Yeah, thank you very much for that question. And you're absolutely right. Depression is a common mental health problem, and it's certainly common in this state. So what we're hoping to accomplish through screening in our primary care settings is that we know that many patients, because of the stigma that you mentioned, will often feel more comfortable going to see their primary care provider. And while certainly sometimes depression may be evident, or that may be the primary reason that a patient is going to see their primary care provider, and they may be kind of already primed to talk about it, in many cases, depression can go under-recognized. And so by screening patients systematically for symptoms of depression, we can kind of increase our ability to identify and then effectively treat that condition.
And Megan, is the screening for depression only, or are you also looking at other mental health issues such as anxiety, bipolar disorder?
Yeah, great question, Tom. Currently, what we've launched is really standardized, systematic screening for depression and suicide today. We are not yet at this point, although I would imagine this is coming down the road for us, screening in a systematic way for other mental health conditions. We wanted to really start with the two most prevalent, which are the depression, and then also adding the suicidology piece to that as well.
And what about the opposite? Might people think this is perhaps invasive and have privacy issues, and suddenly they don't want a chart floating around that says patient might be depressed?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly we want to take care to respect patients' privacy and certainly adhere to HIPAA laws, which govern our duty to maintain the privacy and confidentiality of our patients' records and their medical information. So we're very cognizant of that, and that's an important part of how we've implemented our screening workflow. That being said, screening for symptoms of depression and symptoms of suicide really help us to potentially start a conversation that a patient, because of stigma, may not have been initially comfortable talking about that condition. But because now we're kind of making this more of a mainstream part of this is just how we do healthcare, that's really what we're hoping to accomplish. And we're changing and reframing the conversation around mental health, saying this is an important part of your healthcare overall.
Dr. Pullen, in addition to maybe not having the stigma, trying to overcome the stigma, there might also be not emotionally well enough to make those self-care decisions.
Absolutely.
And not aware of that. Mm-hmm. Megan, can you speak to what inspired this change? I'm sure the doctors in your hospital, it's not easy to add new questions and new protocols, but what made this so important?
Yeah, great question. And you're absolutely right. In healthcare today, we have a lot of change across the board. And so we really go to great lengths to make sure we're prioritizing the right work. In this case, with the statistics that we have in the state of Idaho today, and our primary care providers at the front lines of those, they were really starting to see this more prevalently in their patients as well. Especially, we really are pediatric primary care providers really initially led the charge in this work because of the number of patients, pediatric and adolescent patients, that they were seeing with depressive and suicidal symptoms. It just became too hard to ignore and too important of a problem to not prioritize and really develop a strong process around to ensure that we're asking every patient.
We're speaking with Megan Streit, Director of St. Luke's Population Health, and Sam Pullen, Director of St. Luke's Psychiatry and Behavioral Health. And have your thoughts about treating depression changed over time? Why or why not? You can share your story with us via email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu or join the conversation on Twitter with the hashtag IdahoMatters. So, Megan, what's the screening like? Is this specific to each patient? Is it standardized?
Great question. So we actually are using a standardized and validated screening tool called the Patient Health Questionnaire, and that's a standardized depression screening tool that also includes a suicide question. It was really important to us in this work to keep things as simple as possible for our providers to be successful and also for our patients, so it's approachable and a kind of a seamless part of their care. So when our patients come to see us, just as part of their general rooming, it's included as a vital sign. So just like we would take your blood pressure, we're now asking questions about depressive symptoms and thoughts about hurting oneself, just as a normal part of routine care. In our adolescent population, 12 to 18, we're actually asking those questions at every single visit. Whether that be a wellness visit for your child or whether that be a sick visit that day, it's important enough and prevalent enough in that population that we're asking every single time. In our adult population, we're including that at least once a year or more if they have a history or other mental health conditions that might indicate.
I know campuses like this one, Boise State University, are also looking at incoming students, even extended study students who work online, for increasing rates of depression. Mm-hmm. We're never more connected, yet we're also so separate in today's digital age. Sam, what happens next? We decide, perhaps, that a patient's suffering from depression. Mm-hmm. What does intervention look like?
Yeah, so that's a really important part of screening. So anytime... Anytime that you're screening for a condition, a health condition where there's high prevalence, you do need to have capacity to deliver appropriate intervention. So if a patient does identify as struggling with symptoms of depression and or are having thoughts of suicide, the next step in this workflow is really to help, designed to help our primary care providers essentially risk stratify those patients. So we're using another tool called the Columbia, which is another commonly used tool, and it's been well-researched, well-validated help providers better assess a person's risk for having thoughts of suicide. So there's this exists on a spectrum where some patients may have thoughts of suicide that are more passive in nature. They're not actively thinking about harming themselves, but they are having these recurring thoughts, and we're concerned about those patients. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have patients who may be actively suicidal, who really need emergency intervention. So this is a tool to help script those conversations between their primary care provider and that patient. At that time, once the primary care provider and the patient have kind of come to a decision about the next step, what the intervention is may be different depending on that patient's risk level. One of the things that we are doing at St. Luke's is also involving our specialty behavioral health clinics to help support our primary care clinics so that essentially we have a therapist who is on call that if a primary care provider is struggling with knowing what to do with a patient that they're sitting across from, that they can call one of our specialty clinics to talk with a therapist and figure out, hey, what do I need to do next?
Well, thanks for laying that out, the program out in full. Megan, you're working with public health, and You probably don't have the statistics since it's a new program, but what does early detection mean for depression and for suicide? Can you tell me statistically that it's successful?
Yeah, great question. Well, we do know that asking about depression and suicide does not increase someone's risk for suicide. The research tells us that. Just asking someone about if they're having thoughts of hurting themselves can decrease their risk. We know that we can get earlier intervention, earlier treatment, and national data definitely does suggest that improves depressive conditions and decreases risk for suicidality. We are tracking data at St. Luke's, but being only 1 month in, it's a little too early to tell. We have, though, just early on heard a lot of qualitative feedback from our physicians that they've identified patients that are established patients they wouldn't have otherwise known were having thoughts about hurting themselves. And we've actually had patients reach out to us to thank us for starting screening in the community.
We've been talking about a new program at St. Luke's. We've been speaking with Megan Streit, Director of St. Luke's Population Health, and Dr. Sam Pullen, Director of St. Luke's Psychiatry and Behavioral Health, about screening for depression in primary care visits. If you have comments, you can send them to us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.